But we're very glad to have our brother Simon Anderson with us. Our brother is a second year student in the Whitfield College of the Bible. He's training for the ministry. But he'll tell you a story tonight. But we welcome him here in our Saviour's precious name. We're very glad to have him. And we're going to ask him to come and speak to us now, please.
Good evening, friends. It's lovely to be with you here tonight in Crossgower. I thank your minister, Mr. Dean, for the kind words of welcome. It's a joy and a privilege to come and to share what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in my life. I invite you to take your copy of the scriptures, if you have it with you tonight, to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to read a few portions throughout this chapter, and I'll be referring back to it throughout my testimony tonight. Matthew 6, and we're commencing to read at verse 5. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. We'll go on down the chapter to verse 19. Verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We thank the Lord for his word tonight, and we know that he'll add his own blessing to it. Just at the very commencement, before I speak tonight, I'd ask you to bow with me as we bow in a word of prayer as we seek the Lord's face together. Our gracious God and loving Father, as we come to share of what thou hast done in my life, Father, we ask for thy help. Lord, we are conscious without thee we can do nothing. Father, we cry on to thee to this end, Lord, that you'll come down in a mighty way tonight here in this gathering in Crossgower. You'll come and move upon hearts here, we pray. You'll come and do thine own work, we humbly ask of thee. Father, we're not worthy of the least of thy mercy, but yet we rejoice that in those words we find in Jonah that salvation is of the Lord. Father, we rejoice so many here tonight in this gathering have come to know thee as their own and personal Saviour. They can look back to that day in their life when you saved them. But Father, we're conscious as we meet in this fashion that there are those that still know thee not. And Lord, for such we lift up them lovingly before thee tonight. We know that thou hast said in thy word that no man can come to thee except he be drawn. And Father, we pray that you'll draw such unto thyself tonight, even through the proclamation of thy word. Come and bless us, we pray of thee. Hide me far behind the cross, I pray of thee. And may none be seen tonight from this pulpit, save Jesus and him only. Bless us, we pray of thee. For in our Saviour's name we humbly ask these things. Amen. And amen. Well, brethren and sisters and men and women tonight, if you came expecting some fine orator to be speaking to you tonight, I'm very sorry to disappoint you at the outset. I'm just a farmer's son whom the Lord has put his hand upon. It's a joy and a privilege to be here, as I've said already, to share what the Lord has done in my life. I was born into a farming family in the townland of Corkley in South Armagh, just about 1 mile from the border. Maybe you've heard it called as Bandit Country or read the book. Well, that's where I was born and reared. Born into a family of six children, a very busy home. But time was always made, from my earliest memory, time was made to be out at church on the Lord's Day, taken again in the Lord's Day evening to the gospel service. Throughout the week, as time allowed, we, on a rota basis, seemed to go to the prayer meeting as children with our parents. Children's meetings, youth fellowship, we were taken to them all. And being brought up in a Christian environment was a great privilege for me. One that I didn't really appreciate at that time. But it's only now looking back, I realise how privileged that I really was. As a young boy going to church and other meetings, I soon realised my need of a saviour. And you know, I realised that despite my mother and father being saved, being Christians, being born again, the grace of God in their life was never going to be suffice for me. That I had to come myself to the foot of the old rugged cross if I was to be saved. If I was to be sure when I left this scene of time that my place was secured in heaven. So it was on Christmas morning, awakened by conviction of sin, considering that well-known verse in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That wonderful truth of the gospel came alive to me that morning like never before. As a young boy of 8, the Spirit of God worked in my life and drew me onto himself. And young boys and girls, I see even here tonight in the meeting, Just as the Lord saved me even as a child. I wasn't always this big. I was small like you. And just as he saved me, he can even save you tonight as a young boy or a young girl, even in this meeting. I give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ that day. I was saved for time and for all eternity. Time went on. I continued in my primary education. Went on then to high school, where I found it much more difficult to take a stand, to be faithful unto God, but the Lord gave help. And as I sought to read and pray every day, keep my eyes fixed upon him, he gave me the strength that I needed to endure and go through high school. And it's very tough for young people to take a stand for school and college. Sometimes being the only Christian in the class. I see a lot of young people here tonight, and it's lovely to see you. When I was in my late teens, I got an opportunity to go to the Republic of Ireland on an outreach team. This was a great encouragement to me. When I was there, the Lord spoke to me many times personally through his word. Verses such as Jeremiah 18 and 6 in the second part of the verse. As the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine. And what a privilege it is for each and every one tonight that are a child of the King to be in his hand, to be led by him, to be kept by him day by day. Because it's only in the hand of God, my friends, that he can mould us. He can shape us into the people that he wants us to be. On reflection, this was really the first time that the Lord revealed to me the great need there was for people to give of their lives solely to the furtherance of the good news of the gospel. People just a few hours away from me, many of which never heard the good news of the gospel. And maybe you're here tonight and you know the gospel inside out. I warn you, the scriptures plainly teach, my spirit shall not always strive with man. There's many people tonight, even not so far from here, that haven't heard the gospel. You're a privileged person tonight to have heard the gospel. Why is it that you continue to reject it tonight? Over time I got married to my wife Lindsay. The Lord blessed us with three children and Naomi, Jemima and Isaac. As my wife came from a farming background also, we both had a keen interest in it, which made it a natural decision just to go home to farm. My parents retired. We joined Mullaghlass Free Presbyterian Church. We got involved there, serving in the church in whatever way we could. Serving youth fellowship, Sunday school, Bible class, church committee. Whatever the Lord opened up, we got involved. What about you, young Christian, tonight in this church in Crossgar? Are you involved in the work here? Is there a need here that needs filled? Is your seat filled in the prayer meeting during the week? Prior to the services, you know, we need to get involved. As time goes on in the work of our churches, those people that prayed so faithfully for the work, saw a great and mighty work done down through the years. Those people are going to be with the Lord. Where are the young people to replace those praying saints, those praying prayer warriors? Is that you tonight? I trust that it is. We were confident we were in the will of the Lord, doing what we could to serve him, despite leading that very busy life on the farm. But then in 2010, at the beginning of the summer holidays, we're just finishing up the youth Bible class at the end of June. Things around the farm and the home just seemed to become more busy. I was trying to prepare for the youth Bible class each Sunday morning, and it just seemed to become more difficult every week. And Christian friend, tonight in the gathering, I want to warn you about the danger of becoming too busy. As believers, the Lord expects us to work for our daily provision, but not at the expense of our relationship with Him. In a world where there's so much to offer, even as Christians, we can't help ourselves but become immersed in the material things of this old world. And friends, tonight in the meeting, while I enjoy my home comforts just as much as anyone, the question we must ask ourselves tonight is this: is our treasure in the work of the Lord, in the things of God? That verse we just read, Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We get so busy, caught up in earthly things, in earthly possessions, and then we lose out with God. We come too busy to read, too busy to pray, and then as time goes on, we become too busy to be found even in our seat in church on the Lord's Day. I have to confess, even as I stand before you here tonight, much to my shame, many a Sabbath evening was spent sitting down in the pew, and I didn't know what the minister was saying because I was too busy preparing for the week ahead. My mind was going round in circles, wondering what way I was going to approach certain things that was coming up in the week ahead. Is that you tonight? You're here tonight in body. You're sitting looking at me, listening in part to what I'm saying, but yet your mind's wandering to other things. I urge you to take heed to what the Lord has to say to you even tonight. Turn over with me to Matthew 26 for a moment. From verse 36 on, we see then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. The Lord Jesus Christ is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane here. It's a well-known passage of Scripture. The disciples there were with him, and they couldn't keep from sleeping. They were in the very presence of God, but they could do nothing but sleep. On down there in the verse 41 we read, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptations. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And such a warning it is to each and every one of us here tonight who profess the name of Christ. Watch and pray. Don't slip back into sin. Don't get caught up with the business of this world, but cling to Christ, following only and wholly after His example. If we don't, men and women, we can get to that point when we become so far away from Christ and where we should be in Him. We lose out in our walk with Him and that blessing that is ours in Him. In Matthew, in the verse 56 of that same chapter, we read, but all this was done that the disciples of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples, they forsook him and fled. After all the Lord Jesus had done for the disciples, he had called them out, called them apart to be followers of him. They saw him perform endless miracles. But when our Savior asked them just to wait with him for 1 hour, they slept and forsook him and fled. Christian, tonight in this meeting, are you found sleeping? Are you found sleeping in your walk with Christ? I trust this is not the case. May it be a challenge to each and every one of us to seek that closer walk with our God and our Savior each day of our lives. As I said, I was becoming too busy, given not enough time to reading and to prayer. I decided I would begin a personal study in this book in Matthew, as we have just read in the Gospel of Matthew. And you know, as time went on, I started to read each day. but I never seemed to get very far. The verses just seemed to leap out of the page, verse after verse, challenging my heart. Verses such as Matthew 4 and 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Verse 10, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, him only shalt thou serve. Turn into verse 19, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. The list is endless, men and women, tonight. The Lord was dealing with me, and I didn't even realize what was happening. Then we came to Matthew chapter 6, the portion in which we have read together in verse 8 in particular. Just leapt off the page. For your heavenly Father knoweth what things you have need of before ye ask him. What a challenge. What an encouragement this was to me. Many times in life's experience, I was praying and feeling as if my prayers was not going beyond the ceiling. I don't know, friend, tonight, if you've ever had that experience. But it's an awful sensation. When you feel as if you can't get through to God. But what a blessing it is. In those times of discouragement, those times of disappointment, our Father knoweth what things we have need of. Even when we can't put them into words. Even we feel as if we're not getting through. He knows the innermost needs of our hearts. He knows even when we can't put them into words, as I have said, or feel that we can't get through to him. As I read on down verses 19 to 20, I became very challenged again as I learned of the division that is made between earthly treasure and heavenly treasure. I found myself pondering, which would I rather have? Which would I rather have? And friend, tonight I ask you that question. What are you living for tonight? Treasure on earth or treasure in heaven? We've quoted already, but it's worth quoting again. Verse 21, for where your heart is, there will your heart be also. Are you seeking after the material things of this old world, or the spiritual blessings which are only found in Christ? We come then to November, just 9 years ago, coming. It was just another Lord's Day morning. We'd done our daily chores around the farm, the milking and such like. Dr. Alan Cairns was our visiting preacher. He turned to the scriptures, this passage we have read together, Matthew 6, and he read the whole passage, and then he took us his text. Verses 33 and 34. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore take no thought of the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And friends, tonight, what can I say but this? The word of the Lord came alive to me. It was a challenge to me personally. That day like never before. I still didn't really realize what was happening to me, but I knew that the Lord was speaking to my heart. I came home from church. I didn't eat much. I usually would have taken a lie down in the evening before going out to milk, before returning to church. But I didn't. I couldn't settle. I went out to get started that bit earlier so we could get out to be in church on time. And by the time, friends, that I got to church that night, I knew the Lord was speaking to me in a real way. The Lord was really challenging me about going into full-time service. Challenging me about my treasure, my heart. Where was it? What was it fixed upon? Dr. Cairns began to speak again. He was giving his testimony. I was under serious conviction, not a lot today. I was different to the day I was saved. I knew there was a choice to be made, to stay or to go. I needed to be sure. I needed that call to be clear. And I soon found myself praying inwardly, Lord, if this is real, apply this message specifically to me. And friends, as Dr. Cairns relayed his personal testimony that night, the Lord brought those verses in Matthew 6 and 19 to 21 before me again. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. It is as if the Lord was saying to me, friends, Simon, if you were to work as hard at reaching out to the lost as you are for yourself, what could not be achieved? The Lord drew me into that minister's room that night to speak to Dr. Cairns. And for a country boy to go and approach a man such as Dr. Cairns, who is so well learned and such a gifted preacher, I felt, oh, I'll never even be able to do this. But there was no choice to be made. The Lord drew me in. I remember sitting down before him that night. He told me to go home and pray, that I could do nothing else if this was really the call of God on my life. And friends, tonight I have to confess, I went home and prayed the exact opposite. I went home and says, Lord, I'll do anything else, but I don't want to go. You see, my friends, tonight I loved the farm and all pertaining to it. I loved the land, and every Monday morning was a new project. Building something else, buy something else. I didn't want to go. I didn't want to give it up as I saw it. But after a very hard week as a family, with numerous verses of scripture confirming this call, through systematic Bible study, and with the support of our church and our family, both Lindsay and I realised we must obey the call of God. So after prayerful consideration and direction of the Lord, I commenced studying for the matriculation examinations required for the entry to the college. I sat the English exam, and by the grace of God I passed it, which is a surprise in itself considering I struggle with the Queen's English. But the Lord gave help, and he continues to give help. I had felt the call of God to go into the full-time work of the Lord. So an older brother of mine felt that he should possibly give it a try to come home and farm. He wasn't feeling it naturally, but he stepped in nonetheless to take over the running of the farm. But as time went on, friends, as I studied and he farmed, I could just feel the door closing. My father decided then, if there was none of the family to take over, that we would try to sell the farm. But we got no customers. Not one. Not one bid. And not only that day did the door close to progress any further into full-time service, but I felt that day, friends, that a wall had been put up before me that I could neither go over, under, or around. We continued to farm, accepting that it was God's will for our lives not to progress any further into the ministry at that time. And friends, tonight I want to tell you something. If you've never waited on the Lord, waiting on the Lord is a most difficult thing to do. Especially if you believe in your heart he has led you to do something. Many Christians wrongly believe that waiting means that, well, the Lord has given you guidance to do something, so you just put up your feet and you wait. But friends, tonight nothing could be further from the truth. What good is a lazy man or woman in the service of the Lord, either on the mission field or in any pulpit? You must keep faithful. Keep working in that area in which you are, And in time he will reveal and fulfill his perfect plan, in his perfect way, and in his perfect time. And this is exactly what happened in our situation. Just over 3 years ago now, circumstances began to change for us as a family. The Lord answered prayer. The farm has now been taken care of. And I have entered, or now completed, almost my second year in the Whitfield College of the Bible. We look back now over 8 years of wrestling with the Lord. Right back to that day whenever I told my father that I felt called into the ministry. That I felt called to do something for the Lord. And you know, by the way, friends, I don't think I'll ever forget it. He responded by quoting that well-known verse of Scripture in Romans 8 and 28. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And friends, tonight, those of you who are saved, the lessons for you is this. You look after God's business, and he will look after yours. Put God first in all that you do. You see, dear saint, in the meeting tonight, you can't bring the nice car with you to glory. You can't bring the nice house. And farmer tonight in the meeting, you can't bring 1 acre of land. But in the will of the Lord, there's only one thing we can bring with us. And we can bring our family. We can bring our friends. We can bring our neighbours. Have you ever thought about this fact? The only belongings, the only things, the only people that we hold dear in this world, we can bring them to heaven with us. Are you striving to do so? Are you striving to bring your loved ones under the sound of the gospel? Maybe you're here tonight and you are brought under the sound of the gospel. I was highlighting this morning when I was preaching. The majority of people that come into a church building are brought. And if you're brought here tonight, I want to inform you that the person that has asked you to come to this meeting tonight has a concern and a love for your soul. Have you ever taken time to stop and consider these things? Consider the eternal things. If you're to go out these doors tonight for the last time, if you're never to stand in this church again, can you say your heart's prepared? I was preaching this morning in John 14, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." And you see, heaven's a prepared place for prepared people. And despite what many people even teach today and preach across this land of ours, that everybody's going to heaven, we'll live a good life and pay into charity and arrange a few good things and help out people and be good to your neighbour, that'll never be enough, friends. The only way to heaven tonight is to come as a sinner to the foot of the old rugged cross in repentance. Oh, I rejoice looking back how the Lord honoured us in our time of waiting. He blessed us. He gave us the strength. How much we learned even in that time. Many ministers and missionaries were called of God many years before the Lord granted them the circumstances in which to proceed. Noah waited 120 years for God's plan to unfold. Abraham 25, Joseph 13, the Lord himself prepared for ministry for 30 and ministered for 3. We thank the Lord for the peace that he has given us as a family. And we can testify tonight to the experience of the verse of Scripture, John 14 and 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And you know, tonight it's a strange feeling, standing in the pulpit and looking down at faces of people instead of faces of cows. And it's a lot different standing up here in a pulpit. But we thank the Lord for what he has done in our life and what he continues to do day by day. I've commended the young people already tonight for their attendance in this service. I ask you, is the Lord calling you tonight? Calling you out to serve him? Or maybe you've just started down a new career path and it's all looking very lucrative. You've got the nice car and everything else is all everything seems to be lining up for you nicely. But you haven't got that peace, you haven't got that satisfaction in your life, knowing that you're right dead center in the will of God, that which he would have you to do. You know, I often say at young people's meetings, I can only give the rest of my life in service for God. But a young person can give their very best of their life to serve the Master. Maybe you're here tonight and you're unsaved. And like many others, you just don't get it. You don't understand even why I'm here. Why I would even have turned my back on that which I loved. Well, friends, tonight it's simply all about him. It's all about him. The Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, he who knew no sin, who was made sin for us. Oh, it's nothing in me, nothing in me. Like the hymn rightly said, nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to the cross I cling, even moving forward in ministry. What about you tonight? In the words of that hymn, are you going to come to Christ tonight? Repent of your sin. Come to him by faith, believing. I trust that you will. The Apostle Paul writes in his epistle to the Romans 5 and verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. I was born a sinner. Christ saved me. And friends, tonight, do you understand that much? Do you understand you are born in sin? And that you're in that need, desperate need of a Savior? God could have justly and rightly damned me to a lost eternity for all eternity. I quoted that verse earlier, John 3 and 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You see, don't misunderstand me, sinner, tonight. God doesn't love your sin, but he loves the sinner. And he loves sinners like you tonight. 2 Peter 3 and 9, he is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's long-suffering. Is he long-suffering toward you tonight? When you consider the amount of times you've been invited into this meeting house, you've sat under the preaching of the word. The gospel truths have been laid out before them. You know, the Saviour's been long-suffering with you. Perhaps you have rejected the Lord's offer of the gospel many times. The extent of God's love toward us is shown by the fact that he gave his only begotten Son at the cross at Calvary for your sins and for mine, that we may be justified through his blood, made fit for heaven, cleansed from sin, just as if we never sinned. Many today tell us to live that good life, as I've said already. We're all going to heaven. But friend, I want to ask you this question. If this is so, why does that verse say, "For whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life"? In the words of Paul to the Philippian jailer, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." The hymn writer puts it so clearly. There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open that you may go in when you come as a sinner to Jesus. I must warn you, don't mess around with God's offer of salvation. When you come to Christ tonight, dear sinner friend, I urge you, if you hear God's speaking voice tonight, harden not your heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He so loved the world collectively that he gave his only begotten Son to prove his love. Ephesians 5:25 tells us that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And finally again in Galatians 2:20, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And maybe, friend, tonight, and with this I close, you've understood God so loved the world. You've even understood that God so loved the church and he gave himself for it. But you've never grasped the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Salvation is a personal thing. The Lord Jesus Christ died for sinners separately and personally and individually. Sinners such as you and me, will you repent tonight of your sin? Come to him tonight for salvation. I trust that you will. I trust that the Lord will bless tonight that which is of himself to every heart, even this evening. If I can be of any help to anyone tonight, I'm here, your servant. For Christ's sake, I can't save you, but I'm more than willing to sit down with you and point you to Christ from his precious word. Amen.
Let's just unite together, please, in a word of prayer. Let's just take that time to bow in the Lord's presence, the Lord's speaking voice tonight. We thank the Lord's servant for the testimony that has been brought. A brother's saved young in life, brought up in a Christian home. And that's the testimony of many people, that they heard the gospel early, came, put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ early. Others that we've heard in our family and friends' service have come later, maybe through sin, difficulty in their life. But you know, we come different roads to Christ, but there's only one way to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. We are all sinners, and we all need the Saviour, and you need him tonight. And I wonder, as we bow in prayer, if you will not come and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to take away your sin and cleanse you and make you whole. Because that's what you need to do. You need to trust him. You can't make yourself right to get to heaven. You can't work your way to heaven. All you do is trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel, basic gospel. So many people can't understand that today. Nothing that you can do can get you to heaven, only the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what our brother's been relying upon. What does your life consist of? Where your treasure is, there your heart be also. Where is your heart? Is it in the right place, or is it upon earth, or are you looking to heaven? May you come and put your trust in Christ. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, you call upon the Lord for salvation and for mercy. Our loving God and our gracious Father, We thank thee for thy word tonight. We thank thee for the testimony of thy servant. We pray that thou wouldst bless it to every heart. We thank thee for saving him. And we bless thee, our God, for thy leading and guidance in his life. We thank thee for the reality of God's guidance and for God's power in our lives. And we pray, gracious God, that thou wouldst come and bless thy word to every heart. And, O God, that thou wouldst draw men, women, young people, boys and girls to thee. We thank thee that the boys and girls can come, the young people can come. We're glad, our God, that thou dost make the difference in lives. Our God, we pray that we might consider where we're going, what we are putting priority in our lives. And, O God, we pray that we might seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then thou hast promised that all these things shall be added unto us. Bless thy word for Jesus' sake. Amen. Can we turn to the